Welcome to the Focus on Why podcast. I'm Amy Rowlandson and I ask my guests one simple question. Why? Focusing on the importance of why, I share with you the relatable, uplifting and inspiring conversations I have with people from all walks of life. This podcast will encourage you to focus on your why to enable and empower you to achieve the success you desire. Have a purpose, have a plan, focus on why. Before we start, I would like to draw your attention to what I can offer you as a master coach. I can help you to focus on your why with clarity, uniting your passion with your purpose with a plan to create the life you truly desire. Book a free 20-minute coaching call right now via calendly.com/AmyRowlandson/call, and we can take it from there. Today on Focus on Why, I am joined by Beverly Glick. But not as it is usually done, because Beverly is going to be the host for today and I am going to be the guest, because today is episode 400 and I am passing the reins over to my wonderful editor, my book editor, who is going to facilitate this conversation today. So over to you, Bev. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. And first of all, congratulations, 400 episodes. That is an amazing achievement. How does that feel?
I can't even believe that it's gone this quickly. So today, on release, the 30th of April, 2024, marks the day that it started 4 years ago, that I launched the show in 2020, having had the idea previously 29 days beforehand. So the 1st of April was when it started, and here we are 4 years down the line. And I know this is nowhere near the end. There are so many people already lined up to come on the show. This, I feel, is a lifelong project, and there's never going to be an end to people who are purpose-driven, who have got an incredible message to share. And this is the platform to do so. This is the platform that I'm facilitating it. And if it's not me, then it may be someone else. But there is a platform on Focus on Why for this conversation.
I think that's a wonderful legacy that you've left and are continuing to leave. And I love the idea that it will continue. It is its own entity that will continue on.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm not the first person at all for this to be the case. Essentially, what I'm doing is facilitating a platform for people to tell stories. And I know storytelling is at the heart of what you do. And so you're already sold on this. But storytelling is in our DNA, and being able to share what it is we do, why we do it, to link all of these different elements together and share that in a way that is of value to the listener in this case. You know, there's lots of different ways that we storytell, but we're talking about podcasting. So for the Focus on Why listener, what they're able to do is listen to the story that people are sharing. And then that goes on into something that is really important to me, which is, how does that relate to your life? How does that relate to the listener's life? What is it they're going to do as a result of listening to that conversation? It may just be that they're inspired, and that's great. It may be that they then go on to do something and take action. It may be that then that action gets embodied in different ways. And then the ripple effects from these conversations are infinite. And that's incredible. I mean, that for me it's like magic, right? It really is. It's incredible. So storytelling and purpose are good bed partners, shall we say.
Definitely. Yes, there's always a story behind a sense of purpose. And that's what I love about listening to the podcast. So many different people from different backgrounds, different places around the world. And yet they all have this common thread of finding what's meaningful to them in their lives. So thank you for everything you've done to get to this point, and it will continue. And you do talk about the podcast in the book, of course, but we are here today to talk about that very book. So I'm going to start with asking you, how long has it been since that first thought in your mind that you wanted to write a book about purpose?
Oh, if you'd finished that sentence a little bit shorter, if how long has it been that you wanted to write a book, then I would literally say the best part of at least 40 years. About purpose, oh, that narrows it down a bit more. So that has been on my mind probably for the last 3 years, maybe four. So when I started the podcast, I then realized, oh, there's potential for this to turn into a written format. And so I naturally assumed that the book that I would write would be that it would be the written version of the stories, and I would wrap around each of them and put them into themes and things like that. But it never really struck me as that was the book. And I talk about the book as though it's this ridiculous thing. And it stopped me from writing a book because I called it the book. So I've been wanting to write the book on purpose for a while, at least 4 years.
So, Amy, you told me that story before we started recording that, let's just say, it provoked quite a tingle. So let's share this with the listener. So what happened when you went to see, I think it was a coach, was it?
Yeah, so I'd listened to a podcast. So here's a perfect example of reflection with action. Okay, I'd listened to a podcast and it was Olga Gaidana. She was on Maria Franzoni's podcast. And she offered to the first three listeners a free mindset meditation. And I thought, that sounds good. I'll reach out to her. I might have missed the boat, but hey, you know, I'm willing to pay for this because actually now I've realized I need this. And I reached out to her and she said, no, that's fine. You know, you are actually the first person to take action. And I was like, brilliant. And I had this mindset meditation that she took me through on this beautiful guided meditation. And I was not knowing what was going to come as a result of that conversation at all. Or I took to the conversation that I'd had this block in writing the book about purpose. And this was in March 2022. And what happened was she took me on this guided meditation and she took me to a place where I was really comfortable, which was to an empty room. And then she said, there's a chair. And then she said, but there's no one there apart from you. And I saw my grandfather in that chair. And I said, hold on a moment, my grandfather's already here. And she was like, that's amazing. Your subconscious is already working with you. And, you know, brilliant. But what happened, I'm not going to go through the whole conversation, is she took me through moving from position to position, speaking the words from my grandfather, taking me back into myself and responding. And we had this a most amazing conversation. And I got really emotional just reflecting on that conversation. Fortunately, I had recorded it. I like to document things. I don't always trust myself to remember everything. So I document pretty much everything. I either write it down or I record it. And I've got this recording. And I listened back to it. And what I heard from it was the most beautiful conversation that I felt had actually taken place. You know, it really was as real as having my grandfather back in real space with me and having a conversation. And I learned exactly what my block was, that I'd been thinking I was not good enough. I'd been measuring myself by his ability to be a writer. He was a playwright. He was a novelist. He had published lots of work. He also wrote radio plays and TV plays. And so I held this high esteem of what I thought a book should be and what I thought my book should be, the book. And so I really struggled. And then when I realized through this beautiful conversation that I was much further down the line in preparing my creativity for this book, it totally opened the opportunities for me. And so what then came out of that was this most powerful phrase that I adopted, which was, I am a powerful writer who has the ability to change people's lives with my words. And it didn't feel far-fetched because I had evidence from the podcast that what I'd been sharing had been creating these ripple effects. And so it was reality. It wasn't that I was needing to aspire to this huge claim. I had actually already been achieving it. And as soon as I realized that, it just took away that whole, I'm not good enough to write a book, into, right, let's get started. But I didn't start then. There was still a period of time, because I knew that I had to wait for the right thing that I would focus on to get this book out about purpose. I didn't want it to be another shelf development book on purpose, as there are many. And I didn't want it to be, something that I felt didn't reflect who I am. I didn't want it to be this practical guide, and it was quite bland. And I wanted to have something that really meant something to me. So, but I knew that it would come. And what's really interesting is 2 months before that, I had a conversation with someone who helps to facilitate ideas about creativity. And in that conversation, so this is January 2022, in that conversation, this idea came to me that I could write from two perspectives of a little girl and her grandfather, I guess. And I also wrote it back in January. That's me and George, my grandfather, where he's telling stories by the fire, and some are his war stories, others are from his youth and post-war and golf or dinner party stories. But what that little girl really wanted to know essentially was who she was and what she would be, do and have when she was older. So she was looking at this person as being a guide who could help navigate the future for her, and that she was sort of seeking inspiration. And what then happened was you'd follow this little girl through life, and that she'd be reading all these books, entering all these different worlds, understanding all these new things that she would take on board, essentially going through personal development. But it became quite overwhelming. And then she reached her 40s and there was a pivotal moment. And it's so interesting, because now I can see that I'm just, well, it will come out what's happened as a result of these things that were just ideas, and that I had the space to wait.
Absolutely. So I'd like to choose three words, because I'm a word witch. I'm going to choose three words for you about your book and share them with the listeners. So for me, the key words for you are magic, synchronicity, and serendipity. Mm. And we're going to find out why, having set us up very nicely for what happens at the beginning of your book. And that is the death of your grandmother, Ruth. So tell us what happens next.
And I'm really mindful now that, having just shared those two elements with you, that they happen actually before these dates. So the beginning of the book, as you know it, Bev, and as I know it at this point, and as the listener is hearing for episode 400, it might change in the final version to adopt a couple more elements of these magical, serendipitous and synchronistic moments for sure that happened. Because it really is interesting that when you have all these different pieces, and the book process has really helped me to see this, they are already in existence, and it's about the gathering of these pieces and bringing them together. And I do describe it as being a life jigsaw. This book is really helping you to bring together all these different elements. So yes, the book starts with my grandmother's death and understanding the mortality. It's really important, I think, that life and death in relation to purpose is talked about. So it was a pivotal moment for sure to have that. But it was because of her death that then the rest of what has now happened occurred. And it was after her death that I was going through her things, and I found a box which was called George Precious. And in that box was his scrapbook, and he calls it a commonplace scrapbook, that he'd kept for 5 years as a prisoner of war. And as I was reading this book, or flicking through the pages, I should say, I didn't actually sit down and read it till several months later, surprisingly, actually. I opened it, and then what would happen was that I opened it on a particular page, which is his proposal to write A Way of Life. And when I looked at that, I couldn't believe it, because it was almost a case of I closed the book quickly, because it was a bit spooky. It was like, oh, what's happening here? And yeah, I didn't read the rest of the book for several months, but I planted a seed in that moment that I knew this was part of my book on purpose. And other things happened, lots of other things happened in life, and it didn't get pulled out of that box again until a few months later. And alongside it were some photographs. And then other things started to happen over the next few months, which I cannot explain, other than the universe giving me nudges saying, this is the book that you're going to be writing. This is how you're going to combine what it is that you want to write about purpose and bring in that personal element that you were describing, you were thinking of. And I couldn't ignore all these nudges. They were coming at me left, right, and center. And I think the biggest piece as a part of this was, yes, I found the book, which is his scrapbook, and also some short stories that he'd written, and the photographs and the letters and the telegrams, but they weren't all there in one place. They were scattered in several different places around my grandmother's house, which is now actually my mother's house. And when we started to find all these bits, more things were unearthed. And there was an envelope, a little brown envelope with Amy and George 1990 on it. Tiny little dictaphone tape, tiny, tiny tape. And I looked at it and thought, well, have we got something we can play it on? My mum said yes. And she got out an old dictaphone. It didn't work. One of the sort of loop things went round the spiral. I can't remember what they're called, the spools. One of the spools stopped working. And so I had to go to eBay and buy an old dictaphone. It just so happened that that dictaphone arrived on his, what would have been his 105th birthday. And I was shaking as I plugged in that tape. I had no idea what was on it. I couldn't remember what we'd done all those years ago. And it was an interview of him and me talking about his experiences as a prisoner of war. And I'm asking these questions as a 15-year-old, proving that I've been this podcaster way longer than I thought I was. I thought I'd started in 2019. No, clearly not. I was podcasting in 1990, age 15. And yeah, I just burst into tears because it was just another nudge that I knew this was all coming together. And so absolutely, it's magic. Absolutely, I couldn't ignore all these serendipitous elements and encounters and pieces of this jigsaw coming together. And it was at that point I knew I had a co-author with me. And I had my grandfather back after all these years. He died in 1996. And I just felt that he was there right by me. I mean, I could hear him physically on the tape. And it was just a case of hearing not just the tones in his voice, of hearing how he was describing things. And I could hear the importance on some elements, the flippant remarks here, the sort of gravitas in other moments, but also the humor came through, and he was laughing as he was sharing these stories. And it honestly was magical. There's no other way to describe this whole project as being the most magical thing.
I'll never forget when you first told me about this, and to say it was a goosebump moment is a massive understatement. I mean, everything that's happened to you on this journey, and there always seems to be something else that gets added to it. It's quite extraordinary. I don't think I've ever come across anything quite like this. But to realise that your grandfather, while he was a prisoner of war, was writing. I mean, he's just such a talented writer. You can't, you know, when you read the book, you'll see. But so reflective, so thoughtful, so, but thinking along the same lines as you had been. I mean, how was that? I mean, you say, you know, it really took you aback when you realized that he was talking about very similar things to what you talk about on the podcast.
I know. And it's one of those moments where you realize that so many elements of who you are have been embedded, and whether they're in your DNA or they seep into your being at these different stages in life. And so I realized that I didn't need to be anything else than who I was. And he certainly gave me permission in that meditation that we had. And I know it was just me giving myself the permission. I get that. But it was so real, that conversation I had with him, that it was enough for me to shift this whole block. And the magical moments that keep coming, and they do keep, I got another one this week, which was an article that he'd written on the play about World War II that he'd written that I wanted to know more about. And again, I've got his capturing of why he wrote that play that I didn't know exactly the answer to. And I had been kind of making assumptions, and I don't like to do that. I don't like to put words into his mouth. So to have exact evidence of why he wrote it and what it was about and what he wanted to give the audience as a result of it, that was really important for me, because I didn't want to just suppose. So yes, to see his way of thinking being so aligned to mine, it wasn't a surprise in some respects, but it also was at the same time, because obviously I am the product of who I spent the most time with when I was younger. I understand that, but I also know that you can choose different ways, but I've clearly chosen to live my life in very, very similar ways with very similar thought processes and ways of being that now I see, because I've got this documentation of 5 years of his life that, you know, it had been his way of being and thinking, albeit the younger version of the man that I knew. So it was mind-blowing in some respects. And you talk about goosebumps. When I articulate the fact that I've co-authored a book with my grandfather, who is no longer alive, who died in 1996, using this journal that he kept as a prisoner of war for 5 years to help articulate how you can live a life with purpose. Absolutely. Almost everybody I speak to say they've got goosebumps from it. And I call it tap into the tingle. It's something that I really want to help people to understand, is to trust your intuition, to really understand what matters to you and pursue that. So that space I gave in not rushing into writing a book absolutely enabled me to write the book that I really wanted to, and because of all these pieces coming into place. And I had a PhD student from Australia reach out, because I wrote my blog Focus on Magic, reach out to me and say, I've got scripts from your grandfather from the time that he was in Australia. I've got all his scripts. Would you like them? Because he's studying my grandfather and the time that he was writing plays over in Australia for his PhD. I mean, I don't know how to explain it in any other way than it is serendipity. It is magic. It is synchronicity. So thank you for those three words. They really do mean a lot to me.
One thing also that touched me so deeply about your relationship with George is that in his writing in the scrapbook, he actually talked about a later chronicler who must speak of this. And that just that sentence gives me another level of goosebumps, because this is, he's talking about you, but he didn't know.
I know. And it was that one sentence that gave me the permission to share this unpublished piece of work that was never meant to be public. It was a private documentation. Although, why would he say a later chronicler must speak of this had he not had an inkling? I do think that he wrote it knowing full well that if his life had ended at any point, that there had been a document for people to see and understand what had been going on. And that's why he felt compelled to include that particular sentence amongst it all, just to give someone permission to share. At that point, they didn't know what was going to happen thereafter. They didn't know that the war was going to be completely over and that this would now be what it is. It was, he completed his entries in July 1945. So at that point, the war was over, but he'd started writing that particular entry in March. So he was still in prison at that time. So it's really interesting to again, super strange to know that it's me who's telling his story. And I do feel, who better to than being his granddaughter than anyone?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you talk about this book being a book of many journeys. So it's George's journey through the course of his imprisonment. It's your journey with purpose. And it's also a personal development book for the reader. So let's look at that part of the book now. So you have this brilliant model that you've come up with that looks at purpose from many different angles. So what is the reader going to get from that model and from how you've broken purpose down into these different aspects?
Yeah, it's really important to understand that right from the outset, that purpose is not something that you find. It's something that is your ability to create. You have it within you to create, to build and evolve. And so what the model does, if anything, is just show that there are different elements that will come into play and that it is something that will constantly evolve as you grow, and evidenced in the fact that I'm aiming the book for midlifers. However, I have also shared the early drafts with people from different demographics and age groups. And what has come as a result of that is that purpose is not age related. It's something that comes up into every conversation. And the different elements, that there are 9 elements and they're in 3 sections. It's purpose, plan, and focus. And those are then broken down into 3 parts each. And the reason I've tied a story or my grandfather's journal is his scrapbook is that it does show an evolution through from the way that he's articulating, the way that he's understanding life. And in this span of time, what he goes on to do is he understands the freedom has been taken away from him to create many things in life, but he still has the freedom to hone a particular skill that is something that he wants to go on to do after life, after the war, sorry. And what I want to share with the framework is that this isn't the way, this is a way. That what you can take from it is it's a springboard. It will take you to wherever it is that you want to go, but knowing that there is a structure that will help you to piece those elements together. And I do want to stress that it really is important that this is a way of life. It's not the way. And focus on why will help to focus on purpose. There are many practical exercises and activities throughout. I have at the end of each section the moment to take reflection with action. The exercises I share are purely, again, springboards. You will likely find things that work for you better, that's okay. All I want to do is instigate this whole reflection with action, because that's when you can start to build a life of meaning and purpose through that practice. And it's the action part I want to focus on, because that's the opposite to what most people think, that it's going to be this passive finding. You know, it's not going to be down the side of a sofa. You are going to have to create this, and it's likely to be there already, as I've articulated, in my heart or gut or mind or a combination of all three. The elements of this book were there. I manifested for sure the finding of the book, but it wasn't the finding of my purpose. That was separate. It was just the ability to be able to articulate it that the book has helped me to do. Well, George's scrapbook has helped me to do. But the voice was always there. And so intuition is a big part of trusting your intuition, knowing that sometimes the logical elements that you seek aren't to be found necessarily. It's because it's trusting from what comes within. It's building on that. It's growing, evolving, knowing that as you go through different phases in life, different things matter, different things come to the fore, and there are always going to be obstacles. And for my grandfather, it was a fact that he was contained in a prisoner of war at the time, but he navigated his way around that. And that's what I'm hoping that you will take from the book along the journey that you go on, is that you will be able to navigate whatever comes up and know that it's about you. It's about your journey that's important.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. I mean, you're very generous with the number of exercises that you share and ways in which you can turn reflection into action and build your purpose. One that really stood out for me, though, is especially in the context of George and his captivity, is where are you holding yourself prisoner?
Yeah.
I'm going to reflect on that one, because I thought that was such a powerful question.
Did you have an answer to it?
I think I've got the start of the answer. I think it's one that I'm going to really have to immerse myself in and be very honest about, because we often don't see how we're holding ourselves back or
yeah.
You know, I often use the metaphor, where am I camping out in my own life?
Yeah.
Again, I love the metaphor of that, because it you know, George shows so beautifully how being in captivity did not stop him going free range in his imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And how wonderful that he did live out his purpose of being a writer after the war.
Absolutely. And that particular exercise that you are referencing, are you holding yourself prisoner now, is linked to forgiveness. And it's about the life that you're living and understanding whether it's one that you are happy within, and that it is up to you to make the changes. And forgiveness could be a huge part of that particular change that might need to happen. And yeah, linked to that, it again, the reflection comes through, the ability to even just be aware that that's might be what's happening. There could be lots of things that are going on, but it is about reflection with action, and not just, okay, yes, I am holding myself prisoner. There's a particular conversation that needs to happen. And until that happens, or even if you just let go of it needing to happen, you know, whatever it might be, know that you could be at the cause of what's happening. And forgiveness is a huge part. And something that George taught me was, he didn't hold on to the grudges, and he had really strong opinions. Don't get me wrong. He had very strong political opinions, and he was never afraid to show what he thought about things, but he would let it out. He would say it. It would be this big burst of anger, and then it was gone, because he released it. So he didn't hold himself prisoner. And he talks about how he could get on with anybody at any time because of the close quarters that he spent with people for that period of time, it was an unbelievable nearness. And he talks about this nearness of being living with people 24/7. We know that that's not easy thing sometimes to be, especially if these people aren't people that you want to be with. And you know, he was able to speak to and relate to everyone, and what a skill. So forgiveness is a huge part. Yeah.
Incredible. So I'm going to ask you a question now that you're going to have to just come up with the answer in the moment. So out of everything that you've read in the scrapbook and George's plays, everything you've seen of his writing, what is the one thing that you're going to take away about purpose from what George has taught you?
I think it's honesty. I think right at the beginning of where he starts this journal, he was honest. He was honest about what he was feeling. He wasn't afraid of sharing his emotions. And I think that honesty and being honest with yourself is such a crucial part of living a life of purpose, because otherwise you're living essentially a lie. You're living a life for others that I just don't see as ever being as fulfilling. And I want to make a distinction here. I don't mean that you're not being someone who's generous and you're living life and you're doing lots of things in service. That's different. What I'm saying is you're not being congruent and authentic to yourself. So I think it is that honesty that I see in his writing. And it doesn't matter what it is you read of his, that is there. It really comes through in every word. There's a real connection to him because of that. And I think that's something that clearly, because I recognize it, is important to me as well.
And obviously the book's not going to be out for a while, is it? So can you share when the book will be out?
You probably have a better idea of what comes next, Bev, than I do. Honestly, I think it's likely to be September, October this year. So October 2024, there is a big desire for me to have this published before I turn 50 at the end of November 2024. So yes, that's the target. And I will forgive myself if I don't make it. I'm all good with forgiveness.
Absolutely. But your wish is my command.
But we will get there. And yes, it is a case of, I can't believe that this is the book that has been written. And I couldn't be prouder of and more connected to a book than I have been with this project. It really is, has been a special undertaking.
It's been a very special book for me to work on with you. And I know we're still on that journey, but I feel privileged to be in this with you and George. So finally, I'd like to ask you, if the reader was only going to take one thing away from reading your book, what would you want them to take away?
I think it comes down to knowing that every moment matters and that you're responsible for creating fulfilling moments instead of just filling in the moments. How has this conversation had an impact on you? What value have you received from tuning in? What are your reflections with actions? Please take a moment to leave me an Apple Podcast or Spotify review sharing how Focus on Why has made a difference to you today. Remember, the conversation doesn't end here. To keep it going, simply connect with me on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook or Twitter, or join the Focus on Why Facebook group. All the links are in the show notes. Have a purpose, have a plan, focus on why.